Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening.
Good evening.
How y'all doing?
All right.
How you doing, Mom?
We're trying to see the You've got the business still on, Loretta.
Okay.
All right.
It wasn't giving me any volume, so I didn't hear it until you said something.
That's okay. My computer won't log in. I'm trying to get in now, though. Let's see. My Yahoo wouldn't pull up, so now I'm good. That's it. There we go.
You had to shut it all the way down.
I had to go to my Google.
Mm.
I have it bookmarked on my Yahoo website.
Oh, okay.
But I don't pull up my Google until I go to my email.
Got it.
Trying to log on, baby pressing key. He might have did something. Pressing just, I didn't pay no attention. I didn't realize he was sitting there pushing the keyboard. It might have caused it to start acting goofy.
Oh.
Ain't nobody else on yet?
No, ma'am.
Okay. I know Diane said he had a conference call, a work conference call, so it shouldn't have taken no more than 45 minutes, so hopefully he'll be here shortly. If not, I'm going to go ahead and start and catch Eric, because I don't know if Bruce's going to make it on time or not. It's just the three of us, so I'm going to go ahead and start now and then just fill Daniel in if he makes it in time for the doctor to call, because we need to talk about it before the doctor calls in. Basically, Loretta, what they shared with me is that on February the 1st, they had done an MRI, and that's where the MRI indicated that he was bleeding in the brain on both the right side and on the left side. There's two different stages of bleeding in the brain. One of them is if it's just small or if it's large. He gave me the milliliters. On the right side is 5 milliliters, and then on the left side is 4 milliliters. So that's small. There's no treatment for that. So what they do is just monitor it, and then it usually kind of just reabsorbs itself and goes away. He said it's just like a bruise on your body. You know, it eventually goes away. And there's no surgery required, or like you said, there's nothing that they do. It's just a matter of time that it heals.
Okay.
So they're just going to monitor. They will monitor it just to make sure it doesn't get bigger. If it does get bigger, that's where normally it would require surgery. So we know that, again, he's not strong enough for any surgery. So we just pray that it remains small and it reabsorbs itself and goes away. But the problem that came up on February the 3rd was they did an ultrasound and found that he had a blood clot in his left arm. Their concerns right now is when you have blood clots like that, they have a tendency to break the vein. They break loose and go straight to the heart. We be still, child. If they go straight to the heart, then it will, cause a heart attack, a massive heart attack, basically. So
you said the left arm.
Say that again.
You said the left arm.
is the left arm, which is the only arm that works. The right arm is, you're not working anyway. So I don't know if it caused from all the tubes or whatever, you know, that they've been putting in since we've been there. But either or, there's a clot. And their biggest concern is if the clot break loose, most likely going to go straight to the heart and he will have a massive heart attack. So the decision that we need to make today with the doctor is, do we want them to continue to aggressively medically manage him? Meaning that if that worst case scenario happens, do we want them to resuscitate him?
Well, if they resuscitate him, will everything else that's wrong, will they be able to? I guess I'm trying to say, if we were to accept that, what are the chances of all the other illness that he's enduring?
That's the issue. So let me finish sharing what all he shared with me so you can have a bigger picture. Again, if they resuscitate him, the concern comes to, you know, that CPR pumping his chest, trying to bring him back, okay?
He's so weak.
He's very weak, that most likely all it'll do is crush his rib cage. And it may not even do any good, but cause him to have a lot of pain in the end. But even if they do resuscitate him, based on all the other issues that he has, and if he survived, it would really be a poor quality of life. That's his experience and his feedback. Okay. So if we decide to say do not resuscitate, this is probably another question I just thought about a minute ago here. If we decide to do not resuscitate, are they still going to aggressively medically manage it?
And I don't think so.
That's what I don't think so either, because that's how I wrote it down. Because the last stage was moving to comfort care. But we do need to ask that question, because I had wrote down something and I couldn't get off the phone to write clearly. And what I ended up writing down was the same thing for comfort care. So comfort care is basically hospice. It's minimal support. It's minimal support. They only provide pain medicine. And just, you know, try to make him as comfortable as he can. And try to give him emotional and spiritual support. Just try to make him as comfortable as he can. So my next question to you, go ahead.
Go ahead. I'm just listening.
You got to ask a question. It's a good time to ask a question before I move forward.
Go on, because I can't even remember.
Okay. So I asked him, based on his experience, based on all the issues that Daniel has, and we go into this comfort care, which you're not really doing anything other than giving him pain medicine, you know, what's the duration we're looking at as far as life expectancy? And he said it could be a few days or it could be a few weeks. It really just all depends on, you know, what happens during that time as far as his body. So I think that's the biggest question that I have right now. If we said do not resuscitate, does that automatically mean that he goes to comfort care, or is there a stage where they continue to do they continue to manage him, just not aggressively, but I don't know. That's the part we have to get clarity on. And then once they realize that whatever they're doing is not, he's not progressing or anything, then they make the decision to do hospice care or comfort care. So that's the part we probably definitely need to ask that question.
Yeah, I think if we were to say don't, they're going to give up. That's what I feel.
They're not going to do anything. Yeah. They're going to do a lot less.
Right.
But that's why we got to ask that question. If we said do not, does that mean you're still not you're not going to medically manage it? They're not going to put a lot of emphasis on it, for sure. They're not doing nothing. That's the next question. They go to a hospice. Will he get a chance to come home? And that comes back to the COVID concern.
Well, he had his shot, so the COVID shouldn't. It's just the pneumonia that getting the best of the COVID part of it.
Right, right. But you would probably, go ahead.
I say no from what I'm listening to now.
No to what?
To the
resuscitation?
For them not to, right, for them not to. Just because it's almost as if. To me, it feels like we're giving up on faith. By saying, don't resuscitate him. I don't know. I'm still trying to soak this in, but
I understand
what you're saying and what he said, but I don't know. It's almost as if we're walking away from God. To me, at this moment, that's what I'm feeling. But in the condition Daniel in with all the other issues.
Well, I just think what he said as far as. I think the one thing that concerns me is if they resuscitate and his rib cage collapse, that's going to be very, very painful and he will feel every minute of it.
For breathing. Well.
Well, he'll feel all his bones broke in his rib cage. That's painful.
Yeah, and it'll hurt him to just breathe. Anytime he breathed, he would be in pain. Y'all still there? Oh, they call drop. I'm trying to call her.
See this new cherry gun feel? Like you? Power within our own families. How then can we go and testify to an unbeliever? The Bible in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8 puts it this way. But if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for members of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. The Amplified Translation says, if anyone fails to provide for his own, and especially for those of his own family, he has denied the faith by disregarding its precepts and is worse than an unbeliever who fulfills his obligation in these matters. Do you see how important the family is? Do you see how important the service you provide to your family is? This verse shows how seriously God takes the responsibility of the family. We should be doing everything in our power to maintain peace and unity in every relationship. We gain nothing by neglecting or antagonizing our families. So saints, take a moment. Hear me as I say this. Don't neglect your family. Find time to read the Word together. Find time to pray together. Find time to simply talk about the Lord together.
Loretta, we're here.
Okay, I see.
Yeah, we had to call in our mom's phone. Hugo phone just hung up and it won't let him dial back in.
Good thing y'all didn't do the...
use the host line, yeah. So anyway, I didn't call you right back on my phone because I had got a call from another doctor that wanted to talk to me before we had the call with this doctor. But he said he was going to go talk to that other doctor, so maybe he'll share with the other guy. But he said he would definitely call me tomorrow. As well.
Okay.
But hopefully he'll share it with him and maybe the doctor will give us some input on it. But again, this is where we are. I ain't gonna mess with it. I just hope it don't knock you off. So we just have, you know, they want us to make a decision today, but I don't know if we're going to be able to, or I don't know if we have to, but just knowing that if we don't, then if something happens overnight, that's the issue. But if everybody's not feeling or comfortable or in agreement on it, then I don't want to rush a decision either. Go ahead. Mom's been trying to say something. Go ahead.
What we talked about yesterday, Jeff.
Come a little closer to the phone.
I said, what we talked about yesterday, I just want to know, did we come up to a decision or did you make a decision?
We made a decision that on yesterday it was all about the oxygen and putting him on a ventilator, being that
right.
He wasn't strong enough on a ventilator. So we did make that decision that if the oxygen levels continue to rise, that they can go ahead and put on that mask. But if it continues to rise where he needs the ventilator, we're not going to go that route. That's what we agreed to.
But if you ever tell, you didn't have to tell the doctor that, right? You ain't tell him what we agreed on yesterday.
No. Did she, Angela?
She was going to call me back to, because I didn't tell her. No, I didn't, because she's not there. But she just wanted to, when she made that call to me, I have to make that decision at that moment. But we're not there. So the decision doesn't need to be made right now. But if it did and she called me, I need to make that decision right then and there. I wouldn't have time to call everybody to say what you think. That's why we're doing this now.
Mm-hmm.
So that to today is all about, you know, it's all about whether or not if that blood clot shakes loose, it could cause a massive heart attack.
Can they tell how long he's had the blood clot? Or did it come from the COVID?
No, I didn't ask those questions. That's something you want to write that down, something you can ask him when he come on. I don't know if it matters about the cause of it at this point. Is there. Because the cause of it is not going to change the fact that it's not there anymore. You see what I'm saying?
Well, I just wanted to know how long he's had it. Because if he had it for quite some time, why is it a big concern now that they see it? You know what I'm saying? If he had it a long time ago and he's surviving, it hadn't exploded, what are they seeing that making it of a big issue?
You got to keep in mind, different doctors are treating him, and then different doctors see things and they do different tests. So I don't know if they had done an ultrasound on that arm prior to him being hospitalized. But this particular doctor, I don't know why they felt the need to do an ultrasound on that particular arm, but when they did it on February 3rd, that's what they discovered. You know, what to do the ultrasound,
right.
What was it? You know, I do know that they were having difficulty finding a vein in that arm.
Uh-huh.
But once they put that, that's why they put the IV in his neck.
Uh-huh.
So maybe that, when was February 3rd? Maybe that's when they did it.
That would have been last Thursday, a week ago.
Yeah, which was about the same time that they were putting the IV, the central IV in his neck. That ain't going to work.
Mom's phone working fine from your perspective.
Mom's phone working okay from your perspective. You can hear us.
Yeah, but, you know, you fade out here and there, but I could still hear. It's like an echo.
Really?
Yeah, but it's not all the time.
We're going to let Huber call in, and then we're going to drop.
Yeah, and as long as I got the host number, we're not going to lose our time.
Right, but the doctor's going to come online in 3 minutes. So you wrote down your question?
Huh?
Did you write
down your
question?
No.
You're not going
to
ask
us? No.
You hear us?
Yeah.
Can you hear us now? Okay. And I said that was a good question once you explained why you asked it. But I really do believe that they decided to do the ultrasound when they wasn't able to get a vein, and then they did the ultrasound, and those were the results. But they went ahead and decided to put in the central IV in the neck, because that was the same time that they called me about that.
Oh, I feel like y'all should let them go ahead on and try to get the blood clot out of their arm and resuscitate it back, because I don't want to give up on them like that.
Well, they can't take the blood clot. I don't know if I shared it. They can't remove the blood clot out of his arm right now, because in order to do that, they have to do the blood thinners. And if they do the blood thinners, that's going to cause their brain to bleed more.
We don't have to take that chance. We're just going to take that chance. I don't want to give up on him like that at all. I don't want that blood clot to go back to his heart. We really don't have no chance here.
Let me say that again.
I don't feel like, you know, that blood clot going back to his heart, he really won't have a chance in at all. So it's best to let him go ahead on and use the blood thinners.
But they can't do the blood thinners right now. Are you saying they know if they use the blood thinner, it's going to increase the bleeding on the brain?
What decision are we supposed to be making at this Thursday?
Whether or not we want them to resuscitate or do not resuscitate.
Yeah, resuscitate.
I say yes, too, because I feel that they ready to give up, and we shouldn't feel the same way that they feel. We should still have faith, and they do whatever they need to do as doctors. That's what I feel right now at this moment. I may feel different later.
Me too.
But I feel
we're
walking away from God. We're walking away from the faith part of it, and not the man and the man trying to rule us to make a decision on something that it could reverse. And they trying to make us.
No, I wouldn't go that far to say that they're trying to make us make a decision. They're giving us the options that we have available to us. So it's not like they're trying to make us make a decision. You know, they're letting us know what the options are. There's some family members that probably don't want that to occur, so they're giving us options. And that's why we're having to make the decision, because it's our option. There's no forcing us to do anything.
Mm-hmm. I'm not saying forcing us. I'm just saying that
I know what you're saying. I know what you mean, but I'm just letting you know, I don't think that they're giving up on us. It's just they're allowing us to have an option, and all we have to say is, no, we want you to resuscitate and be done with it. I was just giving you all the details surrounding if you resuscitate, this is what could happen. If you don't resuscitate, this is what can happen. So we went through that very thoroughly so that
we can make a sound decision. So I wouldn't say that that's what they want to do. I would
Okay, so how are you feeling? What are your thoughts?
I don't really have a decision. My thoughts right now is the fact that we don't know for sure that blood clot's going to separate and go to the heart.
That's my thing.
We don't know that, so there might not even be an issue in the beginning.
Right. That's why I was saying
so
the length of time. Is there a way that they could tell how long he's had it, you know? But I don't want to focus on that blood clot. So I say do what they have to do.
Well, let me ask. Well, hopefully he'll be here shortly. It's 3:33. Let me throw this out there. If they don't, how can I say it? They can't treat the blood clot right now because it'll unless what Huber is saying, are you saying you'd rather them treat the blood clot and let the bleeding of the brain determine how the bleeding of the brain's going to react to it?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
That's a question. You make sure you ask that question. Is that an option?
So didn't they do blood thinner before?
I think the other doctor told me they did. But then when they found out that he had the bleeding of the brain, that's when they stopped.
Oh, okay.
Because they were doing the blood thinner for one of the other conditions.
But they didn't know about the blood on the brain before they started the blood thinner.
Correct. It was when he started going in and out of consciousness is when they decided CRT, whatever it was.
Right.
I believe that's how the MRI. Well, the MRI was. Yeah, when they did the. Yeah, because he was in and out, that's, they decided to do the MRI at that point. And that's when they discovered that it was the bleeding on the brain. So that's a good question. Do we have the option to just go ahead and treat the blood clot and take our chances on whether or not the blood on the brain is going to
increase.
And so basically we're saying do not resuscitate at this point right now. As of today, do not resuscitate.
No, what are you saying that?
No, that's not what we're saying.
No, we're not saying that. We said
to resuscitate. I meant to resuscitate, not do not. To resuscitate. We're saying to resuscitate. I was looking at it, but I was meaning the other one. I'm trying to test Angela.
You should have gave the doctor this number.
I did.
Oh, he's going to call in on the blog.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
That's the number I called him to call in.
Well, I feel that if they feel that that blood clock is important, I say go ahead and do what they have to do.
So bottom line, we're not going to change anything. We want them to continue to aggressively medically manage it and go ahead and treat the blood clot, if that's an option.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. That's what I feel. Write this down. Pull up to bless your home and your family. Grace for purpose, and listen to that at your convenience.
Say that again.
To bless your home.
You know you can hear that, right? You know you can.
What do you mean?
You can send that via text and share that. You know that, right?
Yeah, I know, but I want Mom to really hear it.
You share.
Well, if you share the, what I mean by sharing, Loretta, is take the YouTube address and send it via text, and then we can pull it up and listen to it.
Okay.
But what was the name of it? Let's see if I can find it on my phone.
To bless your home and your family.
Wait a minute. My computer's not right. Okay. It was my dose.
Grace for purpose.
Yeah, I'm just gotta type it in. I'll show you how to. You can send it because I sent it to Daniel's phone and they played it for him. It's hard to find a bunch of those things to bless.
If you keep typing it in, it should show up.
I got it. All right. So basically, if the doctor, he hasn't called back, he could be stuck with the patient. But little Daniel hasn't come on, nor Angela or Bruce has come on. So we can kind of just talk. So the questions on the table, let me just write these down again.
Because I'm looking at the millimeters, those are very, very, very small numbers. But I don't know if that's the maximum.
Well, I was considered large, though. Did you see? Are you Googling it?
No. Okay, I'll do it. Well, I can do it on here.
Because I'm hungry. Um, bleeding of the brain statistics. It said from a fall. I told you that. I bet you that's where that all started from. And you can also, it could have came from his original stroke. It says there's options here that said it could have came from his original stroke, which means it could be that same level been there for 7 years. You just never know.
Right.
They could come from them falling down
some many times. Yeah, I think it's a combination.
Yeah.
All right, hemorrhage stroke is when the arteries in your brain bleed or rupture, causing a loss of blood supply to and or bleeding on
That's
the
enough.
Brain and brain tissue. Death and damage. The estimated 5-year survival rate for brain heart stroke is around 27%. How common is a blood bleed? It could have been there. That could have caused his original stroke, is what this was saying. Hematoma to expand without damaging brain cells. Drugs for use control blood pressure.
Don't give up, baby.
You find anything,
Love? No, I haven't looked yet. I just sent Daniel a text.
You said Daniel.
Huh?
Oh, little Daniel or Daniel?
Daniel.
Okay.
Did y'all ever receive the card?
Yeah, we got the card.
Okay.
I never did. We couldn't take it up there, so it's just sitting on the counter.
Right. Yeah, I was going to look it up on my computer, but I missed the call if they were to call Leah. So
now
I got it.
I'm looking on my phone, but I'm looking on my phone, but I'm not seeing any results. I'm not seeing any numbers. about to call the hospital to find out why he didn't call you. His mom not on the call. I wanted to go to the hospital after what I talked about.
He made it last night.
Mm-hmm. He's over there by the hospital.
Okay, I got something. You want me to read it?
Yeah.
Okay, this says as an overview. An intracranial hematoma is a collection of blood within the skull. It's most commonly caused by the rupture of blood vessel within the brain or from a trauma such as a car accident or a fall. The blood collection can be within the brain tissue or underneath the skull, pressing on the brain. Some head injuries, such as one that causes only a brief lapse of consciousness, can be minor. But if it's intracranial hematology, it's life-threatening, and it requires treatment. Didn't say surgery, it says treatment. It might include surgery. Daniel, when he would pass out, he wouldn't be out conscious for a long time. Okay, somebody calling in.
This is Angela.
Hey there. The doctor hasn't come on yet. We were just still talking. Is little Daniel still working? Or do you know?
Yeah, he was on a conference call.
Yeah, he told me he had one at 2, but he thought it was only going to last 45 minutes. So let me just get you up to speed on where we are. Basically, what the doctor is telling us is that they discovered another blood clot in Daniel's left arm. And they're saying that if they treat it, they would have to treat it with blood thinner. But the concern is if they treat it with the blood thinner, it could cause more bleeding on the brain because that's what the blood thinner does. If it has a negative effect, it will cause the brain to bleed. He did share with me right now the fluid level in the brain is minimum, very small amount. He said that what he has right now is more like a bruise on your leg, and there's no need for them to treat that on the brain because it's like a bruise. It eventually go away. But if it was more of a more blood bleeding on the brain, then that would most likely require surgery. So if they're unable to treat this blood clot in his arm, the fear is that those types of blood clots have a tendency to break loose, and if it breaks loose, it's going to go straight to the heart. And if it goes straight to the heart, it could cause a massive heart attack. So the question of the day is if he does have a heart attack,
do we want to resuscitate him or do we not want to resuscitate him? If we do want them to resuscitate him, he shared with me that by him being so weak that most likely his rib cage would collapse, and that's very painful for the patient. And even if they do resuscitate him and he survives, then we're talking about, you know, the quality of life as to what impact, you know, how long his brain was not receiving oxygen during the heart attack, things like that. It could impact the quality of life at that point. So you don't really know what to anticipate after that. If we tell them do not resuscitate, then basically they're not going to aggressively manage him medically, which means they're going to pull back on all the tests and stuff that they're doing and the treatment that they're doing to a level of, that's a question on the table, whether or not it, you know, what is it that they're going to do if we said do not resuscitate? And when are they going to, they're not going to aggressively pursue it, but there's another level that they would do, but I don't know what that is. The other part of it was that we could go ahead and allow the comfort care, which is basically hospice, which all they do is, of course, minimum support and just giving pain medicines and making comfortable. So that's what's on the table right now. I think the majority on the floor right now, I know you didn't get to hear the discussion, is that we rather them resuscitate if they had to, which is basically saying to continue to do all that they can for him right now. And because who's to say that the blood vessel will break loose and go to the heart? It may not. And then the question on the table is, can they go ahead and treat the blood clot and monitor what may happen to the fluid in the brain, whether or not it's going to increase? Since right now it's at a small level, but what they share with me is that the blood thinner does make the brain bleed. If it's already, you know, bleeding at this, it could make it continue to bleed and grow. And the more that it grow, the potential is brain surgery.
Well, the way that you just explained it, that would be my opinion as well.
To allow them to resuscitate?
Yes.
Let them continue to do all that they can do to treat him, and then now if they're the only other, I'm sorry, go ahead.
The way you just explained it, yes, because it doesn't, the way you just explained that at the status that it is right now, it doesn't sound like it's at the end of the road to me.
Right.
Okay. Now, the only thing is, I don't know if it was an option to treat the blood clot in the arm. That's the question of on the table right now.
Oh, he didn't.
Okay, can I share?
Wait a minute. I'm sorry, Loretta. Wait, Angela, what's your question?
Oh, the doctor didn't present that as an option?
No.
I just may not have asked the right question at the time, because when he shared with me, I kind of was writing down what are the impacts to resuscitate and what are they doing, and then I wrote down do not resuscitate. But when I got home and got my notes together, because I was in the middle of work and I couldn't write it down, I couldn't get away at that moment. So when I got back to review my notes,
I actually had wrote down the same thing for DNR, which is the United States, and for Comfort Care. So I don't know if he told me, I just didn't write it down, or he told me out of order, and when I wrote it down, I ended up writing the same thing. So that's a question on the table right now, whether or not it is an option for them to proceed with treating the blood clot. But if they can, in the way that I explained it, then that makes plenty of sense because, you know, to say do not resuscitate and then they stop managing his illness, you're basically not giving him a chance at all when now he's at a 50-50 chance.
Right.
But also knowing that anything could happen between now and tomorrow morning, that if that blood clot does move,
Angela,
then they
if
will have
to. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. Go ahead.
That's okay. No, go ahead. I was done.
I was asking, is he breathing on his own now?
Well, the good thing today, yesterday, I don't know if I shared with you, but who's that one? Okay. His breathing has been going up and down the scale. So last week it was in the 5 and the 8. Just answer and tell your caller back.
Let me call you back.
If at the weekend it was like in the 5-8 range. It did, right before the weekend it was really good, but on Monday it got as high as 55%. So he was like less than half breathing on his own. Then the next day, it went down to 40. Yesterday, it went down to 25. Today, the oxygen levels is either at 5 or 8. So it's going back to the way that it was last Friday.
Which is a good sign right there.
Right. And on top of that, all of his other vitals are good. His blood pressure's good. All the other vitals are good. Now, there was one other thing that has started happening is there's mucus in his throat, but he's not able to cough it up. So they're having to suction it out so that he can breathe. So that's kind of right now causing him difficulty to breathe. The last time that they did a X-ray on the lungs, it did not reveal that there was fluid in the lungs that would be causing this. So they're thinking that it could be caused by some type of infection. So they were going to start treating that infection, to see if that's what it is, the infection, and then hopefully that'll clear his throat and he can cough up whatever that's coming out of his throat at this point. I did too. Remember, I had to have that. I remember having it. I know what they're talking about. I had to have that in my throat as well because I was coughing up a lot of phlegm and I had to get it. He had to get it out of there. So that's what he's suffering. That's probably from the pneumonia because I did have pneumonia too. That's probably just that, you know, from having a pneumonia, it's just that phlegm building up in his throat, but he's not strong enough to cough it up. When I had it, I was able to cough it up, but I also had to have a tube to cough it out, but they were suctioning it as well, weren't they, Mom? Yeah, so that I can visualize what he's going through with that one. But again, that could have an impact on his oxygen levels, you know, the success rate of it, keeping it down. But right now, it's down and it's looking good.
Okay. Okay. Can I give you an update on what I found on a level for blood on the brain? You said 5 millimeters, right?
That's what he has on the He has 5 on the right, and he has 4 on the left. That's what he currently has.
And those are millimeters. This report says for small, it's less than 2 centimeters. Medium, 2 to 5 centimeters. And a large is greater than 5 centimeters.
Well, now give me those numbers again, because that's what I'm, small is what now?
Less than 2 centimeters.
Okay.
The medium is 2 to 5 centimeters.
Okay.
And the large is greater than 5 centimeters.
But
so he hasn't reached that level of centimeters, huh?
That's what I'm saying. The millimeters are much smaller than a centimeter.
Mm-hmm. Right. Much smaller, yeah.
So, and that's why he said that, and that's why they're not, they don't need to treat that as far as the brain is concerned. Because it's like a bruise, and it would eventually just absorb itself and go away. But if we ask them to utilize the blood thinner to get rid of the blood clot in the arm, then those numbers are going to increase. So if we're looking at such a minuscule amount of blood in his brain compared to what the medium and large amounts are, then to me that's an opportunity to take that risk.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And we don't know how long it's been there. It could have happened from the stroke that he had, or it could have happened when he fell on the rocks there. So
yeah.
I'm thinking it's been there.
Either or you're talking more than a few months that it's been there. So if it's been there and it's been several months, obviously it's not growing.
Right.
Since it's so small.
Very. Mm-hmm.
I don't know if he's going to be able to call me back. And maybe that other doctor, well, Angela, while we were just getting on the call, another doctor called me and left me a voice message that he wanted to talk to me before I talked to this doctor. But he was going home for the day by the time I got the message. And so he said he'll call me tomorrow. But he was going to reach out to this other doctor before we had a call with him. So he's supposed to have called in at 3:30, and he hasn't called in yet. So maybe that changed the what's going on. So if he doesn't call within in the next 10 or 15 minutes, I'm going to try to reach out to him just to see why he didn't show up on the line.
Mm-hmm.
What type of doctor was he?
And I have to go back and listen to the voice message because we were on the call and I was thinking the other doctor was coming. I didn't listen to it clearly.
That's okay. I thought maybe by name.
Yeah.
Well, I think that I think y'all are doing the right thing. That's my opinion. I don't think And y'all know your brother forever, and I know that Daniel's a diehard. You invented.
Yes, he is.
I mean, Daniel's been through fields and everything else. I know he's fighting.
Yeah,
and
he's definitely.
After Angela put it to me, just like she just did. With some stats and Loretta just read stats, definitely say because I would not want Daniel to suffer. But after reading like that, I know Daniel got some fight left.
Yeah, especially if he's breathing like he was last week all of a sudden. So he's fighting, and we just got to keep praying and have faith. I don't think we should just say give up, basically.
Let me share this, what I just found. A millimeter is 10 times smaller than a centimeter.
Yeah, those numbers sounds good.
So take the risk of going ahead and treating the blood clot.
Yes. Yes.
That's where I am.
That's where I am.
And I got to hop up. I love you guys. And thank you so much.
Thank you, Angela. Appreciate it.
I love you guys.
Oh, don't hang up yet. Don't hang up yet.
Okay. That's okay. Love you. I
love
you.
Yeah, she said she had to go, Loretta.
It's okay. I can copy her number after she hang up. I was thinking it was going to lose
it. Oh, I got it.
I
can text it to you.
Yeah, I thought about that, too. I said, well, Angela got it, too, so.
Well, let me. So he hasn't come on yet. Like I said, I'll give him to at least 4:15, 4:30 and see. Then I'll call back up there and see what happened. And share
because
with him.
Is that an option for the arm blood clot? I would say to proceed on.
Mm-hmm. And we just take a chance that blood clot does not release itself.
Right.
Because there's a 50-50 chance that could occur, and we're saying do not resuscitate. But if you don't do, we say that, and you don't do anything else, it could happen because you didn't do anything else.
They didn't do nothing else, right. And right now, our number's looking good.
And it could be that other doctor had a different opinion, and maybe that's why he hadn't come back on the phone.
He hadn't called on yet, or they probably still talking or whatever.
He had to go. He had to go, so they haven't called
right.
me back. Like he called twice, and he finally left the message. No, he called once. No, he called twice. Yeah, he tried to call me twice. All right, well, I think we done come to a decision on what we decided. So basically, in this case, proceed with aggressive medical treatment.
Are you able to contact the doctor via phone or text?
No, I'm going to call the hospital and get to the nurse's station and try to get a hold of him then. But he hasn't tried to call us because I told him 3:30.
Right. But maybe he forgot.
But I had called at 2:30 to give him the new number, so the nurse was supposed to give him the new number. That was at 2:30, so even if he, it wasn't him that called. I'm sure it was this other doctor that called and left a voicemail. Because that was 3 minutes of each other, 2:56, 2:57, and 2:58. Somebody's joining. It might be Daniel. Yeah, that's little Daniel.
Hey, Auntie.
Hello.
Hey.
Hello, hello.
Hey.
Hey, Auntie. Hey, Auntie.
Hey.
That would have been a two-hour call. You get that sale?
Right.
Yeah. Well, the doctor didn't join us, so we've just kind of been just talking through it. Your mom came on for a little while and gave her opinion on it. So I'm just going to go through it again and just give you what we've been discussing and then allow your input as well, okay?
Okay.
As I shared earlier, they found another blood clot in Daniel's left arm. And in order to treat the blood clot, it will require them to give him blood thinners. The problem with blood thinners is it can cause more bleeding. Turn your phone down. It can cause more bleeding on the brain. Okay? So we know that they did an MRI and discovered that his right brain has about 5 milliliters of blood.
Mm.
The left brain has about 4 milliliters of blood. And so that is considered quantity-wise as a very small amount. And if it's a very small amount, basically it's no different than having a bruise on your body somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no treatment for that. Basically, it's just a matter of time that the bruise goes away. So that's what would happen with that blood. It eventually absorbs itself back into his system. If they don't know, right now they don't know whether or not it's growing, so they will continue to monitor it. But if it gets to a large amount of bleeding, that's where the surgery would come in at. But we looked up the stats on this 4 millimeter versus 5 milliliter, and the bottom line is that's a very, very small amount of blood. The large one, Loretta looked at the stacks. It basically said that for a small amount of blood, it's up to 2 centimeters, not millimeters, up to 2 centimeters or less than 2 centimeters. That's a small. So we definitely in the small, but on the spectrum of 10 times 2 smaller because it's millimeter. And then if it's a medium or if it's a medium amount of blood in his brain, that's from 2 to 5 centimeters. We're nowhere near that, of course, if we're not even near the small one. And then the large one is anything greater than 5 centimeters. Again, he's not in any major damage from the blood on the brain, that bleeding on the brain. It's very minimal. So going back to what I said about the blood clot in the left arm, the question becomes, do you go ahead and treat that with the blood thinner and continue to monitor and see how that impacts the blood on the brain, the bleeding on the brain? We don't.
I have
know
a question.
That,
oh.
Yeah, go ahead.
You might have already, you may have been ready to speak on it, but what is the damage that the clot could have in his arm right now? Because, you know.
That's where I'm going to go. Yeah,
okay.
I'm definitely going there. But, again, with the blood clot in his arm, that has to be treated, and the only way to treat it is with the blood thinners. And that will help it if it decreases it or dissolves it. So that'll help it. But the thing is they were skeptical about using the blood thinner because it could cause the brain to bleed more. The problem with if they don't treat the clot in the arm, those types of blood clots have a tendency to break loose out of the walls of where they are. And then if they do, they will travel directly to the heart. And if they travel directly to the heart, you're talking about a major heart attack. So the question that they had for us today was, if if this scenario, this worst case scenario happens, do we want to resuscitate him or do not resuscitate him?
This is like yesterday's question, part two.
Kind of, mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's just a different organ, right? It's just a different organ now. And what they did share that being in the condition that he's in right now, being very weak, that having a resuscitation of the heart, the what could occur is that when they try to do that, that it could crush his rib cage, it could collapse, which is very painful for the patient. And then even if they have to get to that stage of resuscitation, and if he does survive, then his quality of life is just poor, just poor. Because you got to keep in mind that when you're having a heart attack, there's no oxygen getting to your brain. So that impacts your quality of life in mentally and physically. So that's what he wanted to share on that end of it. If we say do not resuscitate, basically what that means is that they're not going to aggressively pursue medical treatment like they are right now. That's what they're doing right now. They got him under full cold care, which means they're doing everything that they can to help him survive. But if we said do not resuscitate, they're going to do limited amount of medical care. I don't have the details to that because I wasn't able to get away from my desk to get the details at that time. And then when I got home and to compare my notes, I actually wrote down two of the same things. So I'm going to go to the third scenario is to move him to comfort care, which is the same as hospice. And we all know that hospice is minimum support, pretty much no medical treatment other than pain medicine to keep him comfortable. And just give him, emotional and spiritual support. That's really what that all means. Get rid of the tears and all of that, and just give him pain medication. So basically just allow him to be comfortable until he passes. That's basically what that says.
The third
one, yes.
Okay.
So your mom came on. We all have done roundtable about what we think we would like to suggest the doctors do. What are your thoughts?
Well, I want to, and you probably have already discussed this and looked into it as well.
That's
and I want to do a little of my research as well. But, I want to see what, the blood thinners are going to do when it comes to COVID, when it comes to all the other elements that he's going through as well, in the first option, in the first understanding of, trying to deal with the clot. I want to know if the clot, what's the likelihood or percentage that he would have a heart attack with the clot being left alone right now until at least the pneumonia is subsiding or some other, the lung situations. Because it just, we're talking about the lungs and the heart and the brain, so those are very critical items that we kind of have to figure out how to best satisfy all of them in a place where they're all in jeopardy right now. And the solution to something that is separate to it, we can hinder all three in
a
way.
Correct.
So, so I'm kind of thinking about that right now. But while I think about that, my next thing going all the way to the third option, of making him comfortable and whatnot. In that situation, will we be able to visit him?
That's the question on the table. If you make him comfortable, is that he's going to be able to come home or is he going to be sent to a different facility? Now, I did remember a conversation he said to a facility, but I don't as it relates to COVID. I don't know if that means that we still can't see him. I did ask about can we not see him as he's talking about these three scenarios, and the answer was still no. But as it came to hospice, I don't know if I recircle back with the COVID situation or even if the fact is come home. But I don't think that they're thinking home. They're thinking more of another facility. But we do have that question on the table to ask.
And then what's the timeline for these different options, if you could kind of...
The thing about it is, with this blood clot in the arm, you know, it's basically a 50-50 chance. We don't know if it's going to break loose or not. We don't know that. We don't know if it's going to happen tonight or tomorrow morning. We don't know that. So that's why they're asking us whether or not if it does happen, what direction do we want them to take? Okay. Now, if we decide to go with the comfort care, I did ask him his opinion on the life expectation based on his illness today. And he said from his experience and because of COVID, if we go that latter part, we're talking maybe days or maybe weeks.
Okay.
So let me share with you, since you wasn't able to hear the feedback of everybody, let me kind of recap to you what everybody...
Yes, please.
Everybody shared. Basically, bottom line is the majority, I would say all four of us, basically said that we rather them to proceed with resuscitation.
Well, Angela, too.
I said four of us. Oh, five of us. Okay, Angela. Okay, I'm counting. I wasn't counting myself. All five of us agree that we prefer that they continue with full cold care where they aggressively pursue the medical treatment for him. And if something was to happen, we do want them to resuscitate. And then the next part of that is we wanted to ask him. I don't remember if he said it was an option or not to treat the blood clot in the arm. So we want to propose that they go ahead and proceed to treat the blood clot in the arm and take the chances of the bleeding on the brain to, if it increase, it may not even increase, but if it does, he's got a lot of wiggle room between millimeters versus centimeters that are danger zone.
Right. And my thing is I just wish we could find some way to, some instrument or something to see if his brain is, you know, scabbing at least. Because I know once you get the blood thinners, you relinquish that ability to start scabbing or, you know, that healing format that the clot things.
I'm not following what you're saying. What are you talking about? Break it down for me.
Yeah. For, you know, when it comes to, like, you know, using aspirin or blood thinners, I've known that, you know, the ability for your blood to clot and, like, in a way that's good to scab and cover for his brain is, you know, the bleeding in the brain, you know. I wonder if it's already passed that process in his brain, you know what I mean? Like, in a sense where his brain was bleeding, it's doing the thing, you know, the body's, you know, magnificent and, you know, it's already healing in its way, and what's the fluids that are in there are just the natural process of his brain healing and going through,
right.
Of course, from the residuals of when it was bleeding, you know, I want
right.
to see if it was still an open bleeding situation where, yes, there's, you know, it's a leaking situation of, you know, small amounts, but when the thinners will get through the body, you know, over the course of treating this will also eliminate that ability for his brain to heal with the blood that's going, you know, because that's what blood's there for, to kind of heal, you know, in that situation.
Well, what they said is that the thinner won't heal the bleeding in the brain. it actually will complicate it.
So then in their diagnosis behind, without us asking for the details. Go ahead, Auntie.
The thinner is more of a negative impact to the bleeding of the brain. So it could cause it to bleed more. So it's not going to do what it would do for the blood clot in the arm. It'll fix the blood clot in the arm, but it won't fix the bleeding on the brain. It'll make the bleeding on the brain worse. But again, the blood on the brain right now is so minuscule that if they will weigh the options and treat the other one, keep monitoring the blood on the brain so that it doesn't get to the centimeter levels, it doesn't get to 1 centimeter level, then he should be okay.
Right.
Okay.
And then once they get rid of
because
that.
Because then again, like what, you know, because in my mind, you know, when y'all share with me, because I don't think for some reason, and, you know, kind of forgive me, because during this process I've kind of, you know, been accidentally, like, just blacking out certain details from my own mental state, I guess. But I didn't recognize the fact that he wasn't knowing himself or his name because of the bleeding in his blood. And that kind of made me nervous. You know, I don't want that to be, you know, because that's a huge quality of life item there. And, you know, but then at the same time, you know, if you let the arm go uncared for and, you know, a major heart attack comes through and then we resuscitate him and his lung is punctured during the process, which is a huge, you know, possibility, especially at the state of which, you know, he's in right now where his body is in a healing process. You know, I imagine that would be because I, you know, I have a friend of a colleague that had a heart attack on site, and she had like 3 of her ribs or whatever, where, you know, that was the painful process. Couldn't even laugh, couldn't even breathe deep or anything during healing from that heart attack after being resuscitated. And she was well to a degree. You know, she was a normal, you know, older person, but well. And, you know, so how does that affect the ammonia and COVID and the blood clot that he has in his lungs? You know, I just almost wish I can get one item eliminated or one item, like, you know, if we, in a way, you know, in an ideal world, I would like for them to hold off on the blood thinners until they can say, okay, his brain looks like it's in a, you know, the amount of fluid that's going through now that we're aware of this situation is decreasing. You know, he still's got it in there, but the fact that it's decreasing means that something's healing and closing, which means we can put him on the blood thinners and we have a less worry about the brain. You know, and so because the lungs are the next another. Again, it's just the really crucial organs that we got to play like Tetris with.
Well,
and I, the lungs I really want to make sure are also not going to be hindered by trying to bring him back, you know, because then we got to think about putting him on the ventilator if his lungs get punctured.
Which we agreed that we didn't want him on a ventilator yesterday. So,
exactly.
Yeah.
So kind of like,
Go ahead, Lorena.
Another thing that we put into play before we made our decision is that we don't know how long the blood on the brain been there. Could have been there for several months or whatever. So, That's another reason why we said he has a 50-50 chance of surviving. And then his breathing levels came back up today. So, you know.
Okay, good.
That helped us make that decision.
Yes, okay. It's good to hear your voice, Auntie. Auntie Loretta, I missed you.
Oh, I miss you too. I wrote your number down. I'll keep in contact.
Yeah, but likewise. Well, in that light as well, and thank you, because I didn't hold that too. That's important to know, because, again, it's not something new. So, you know, it might have already been close to the healing process by the time we figured out what's going on. And so, you know, I think you're right. It is 50-50, so.
And
we really
I
can't talk to Daddy. Oh, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say when he was passing out, he wasn't unconscious long. And that they say in the write-up is that he's is very mental.
Yes, this is Angela.
Go ahead, Auntie Loretta.
Hello.
Well, I was just saying how they were saying if he wasn't unconscious long, that means it's just basically like a little bruise. So the thing is, we don't know how long the blood been on the brain. The blood probably been there for a while, you know. And so that's why we're willing to take the chance of the blood thinner if that's an option to prevent that blood clot from exploding.
And I would love it if they could even titrate the blood thinner, you know, like, you know, start something small and slowly, day by day, increase it to the amount that
monitor.
They need it to be. Yeah.
Yeah, monitor.
Instead of just going through with
level.
The full. Yeah, yeah. Instead of just going through with the full execution of a normal plan to get rid of a blood clot in the body.
Right.
I don't know if we can ask the doctor and see if that could be something that could be done, or if it's one of those regimens that they only have the tools and instruments to just go, you know, full in from the beginning to have those expected results, then that might be a little different, you know.
Yeah, because she said when they did the scan.
Loretta.
I'm watching. Okay, I'm watching.
Okay,
here he is. Good evening.
Hello, and just so I'm clear, who all may I ask is on the line?
Sure, this is Dr. Royale, right?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. This is Angela Patton, his sister, and then Mayo Levarner, his mother, and Hubert Lowe, his brother, Loretta Simmons, his sister, and his son, Daniel Lowe, Jr.
Oh, great. Terrific. And in general, Angela, you and I talked about quite a bit on our last conversation. Have you had a chance to talk through with everybody on the line sort of what we had talked through?
Yes, we did. And we did have a couple of questions in the, that we wanted to pose as well.
Okay.
Let's start with the main one, which is the blood clot in the arm.
Yes.
Now, you were saying the only way to treat that is the blood thinners, and if we did that with the blood thinners, it could cause additional bleeding in the brain, correct?
Yes, that is correct.
Okay. Is that an option that we could still pursue that? Because we were looking at some of the stats as it relates to the bleeding of the brain, and we're no experts, we're just looking at stats on the line. It looked like when you're talking small, you're talking centimeters versus what I think you told me that the right brain had 5 millimeters and the left brain had 4 milliliters. So that is in comparison to centimeters, that's very small. So is that an option to try to treat that blood clot in the arm and monitor the blood bleeding of the brain at the same time to see if we're able to keep that clot from spreading, so to speak?
That's a great question. The unfortunate answer is no. And the reason why is because your brain sits within a fixed space, the skull. And so in essence, any pressure, even minimal pressure, pushes your brain down through the base of the skull through a hole called the foramen magnum, which is where the spinal cord exits. And there are some nerves that exit through there as well. And so even small deviations in pressure or small deviations in pushing the brain one way or the other have significant impact, because different than a bruise in your leg or a bruise in your arm, that bruise can expand and really not cause compression of other structures around it. Differently with your brain, as soon as your brain expands in any direction, it can compromise vital parts of your brain and push your brain down into that hole through the hole that the brainstem sits. And then you in essence, risk brain death.
Gotcha. All right. So then the next question that we have, I know I was in the middle of not able to write when I got home and looked at my notes. When we talked about full cold care versus DNR care, under the DNR care, what is it that you guys, when you continue to do medical management, or are you, I was confused whether or not that's the same as going straight to comfort care. So I needed a clarification on that part.
Sure. So changing somebody's code status from full code to DNR doesn't change the medical management. The only part it really addresses is if something catastrophic happens in the middle of the night. You don't do chest compressions and CPR. You allow somebody to pass.
Any question, guys? Any thoughts?
I have a question. Hello, doctor. This is Daniel. Daniel Lilo II. And thank you so much for all the work you've done for my father. I've greatly appreciated it. My first question is there any way, because I'm in the area, posted for anything, should anything happen, to be supportive into my father, that I can, be able to see him. I'm happy to purchase whatever, PP equipment or, to do whatever is required in order to be in code and of the safety regulations that are in place for yourself and for my father. But I just haven't seen him in a decent amount of time, and I just really need him to see me and for him to see and for me to see him. So that's my most important question. And if there's any way that we can satisfy that.
So, I'm sorry, I'm going to cut you off. And the short answer is no. Okay. The closest we can get is to try to get him an iPad and have you do FaceTime with him. Unfortunately,
okay.
I'm sure you can imagine, have risks with family members coming in, trying to see their loved ones, and nurses actually getting sick from the interactions and losing nursing staff. So as a policy, your dad unfortunately is COVID positive and there is a no visitor policy.
Okay, and when did he receive that COVID positive? Do we have a time frame of when that was he was exposed or when he received that as well?
So I can tell you the date that his COVID test was positive. Give me just a second so I can look it up on the computer.
Okay. And while you're doing that, I can throw around another question here. If we were to move to, hospice care and things like that, I imagine that's a different, company and whatnot. And so, their rules for visitation may differ.
That's absolutely true. That is a very valid statement. The short answer is yes, that's correct.
Okay. Okay. And then second question while you're looking at information as well, is there a way in which we can titrate the blood thinners in order to kind of monitor the hemorrhaging that's going on in his brain?
No.
It has to be a full amount of in the treatment process in order to, begin that healing aspect.
Yeah, so he would be on something called a heparin drip, and heparin drip by definition is already titrated. And so what you titrate to is the thinness or thickness of the blood. And unfortunately, if he were to bleed while on a blood thinner into his brain, there's not a lot of room and there's not a lot of time. And there's not a lot you can do when somebody starts bleeding into the brain other than somebody passes.
Okay. And in your professional opinion, my dad is one of the strongest I've ever met. He's been through so much, and he's just, a warrior for that. So, he can definitely, God willing, climb mountains. What would be an item off of his chart that would allow for this situation to look, his survivability to look better. I know he, you know, there's a lot of things that are, you know, in everyday standards quite, you know, difficult to, you know, get through. But in your professional opinion, would you deal with the blood clot at this moment, or, you know, focus on getting the pneumonia or the COVID or his breathing, you know, regulated at a certain oxygen level before doing that?
So I'm going to back up, look at the big picture, and I'm actually going to give part of the note of a palliative care physician, so somebody who does this as their primary job.
Okay.
In general, your dad has multiple issues, cirrhosis, a blood clot in his arm, a bleed in his brain, COVID, he's on oxygen. And so not being disrespectful, but going into this, he does not have a good prognosis. I asked for a palliative care physician to come see your dad. And so the palliative care physician explicitly writes, poor prognosis, definitely hospice appropriate. Life expectancy likely limited to a few days or weeks.
Okay.
And so
I think that that concludes my questions. Anybody else? And thank you again, Doctor. I appreciate your time.
Yep.
I did have a doctor call me about 3 o'clock, but I didn't get a chance to talk to him because we were already on this line. He left a voice message. I didn't get the name. Did you speak
Brennan?
To – that's the doctor you were referencing just a minute ago? Because he said he was going to try to talk to you.
Yeah, so in general, the physician that called you, his name is Dr. Brennan, and he and I did speak about Mr. Lowe, and in general, the note that I read you was from Dr. Brennan.
Gotcha. I was trying to make that relationship, okay?
Sure.
Okay.
So that's probably
now, if we were to go, and if we were going to go towards, you know, making him more comfortable, how long is that process to transition from your facility to the next facility of our choosing?
That would likely happen tomorrow with Dr. Brennan, assuming that there's a facility that's available. So steps along the way. Just making sure we connect all the dots. Number one, we would need to change his code status to DNR. Number two, we would need to place him on comfort care. And then number three, tomorrow we would ask Dr. Brennan to place your dad in a hospice facility, which, as you pointed out, may have different rules with visiting and may be more consistent with your goals and with his.
Have a question.
Okay.
And go ahead, Auntie.
This is his sister Loretta. Is bringing him home is an option?
I don't know the answer to that. I don't want to say yes or no definitively. I think that's a discussion that can be had with Dr. Brennan. And I don't want to give bad information. I think that's a very reasonable request. I just don't know what resources are available, and I'd prefer that to be answered by Dr. Brennan.
Okay.
Okay.
And
thank you.
That was a great question, Auntie. And real quick, I was going to ask: is there, already a prescribed set of comfort medications that we need to consider when getting him into certain facilities? Would certain facilities be able to provide that, and some not? When considering the next facility?
So in general, I'm going to answer with what I can control in this hospital.
Mm-hmm.
In mm-hmm. general, there are comfort care measures that we use that are a standard order set that allow the nurses to give medications like morphine or Ativan when mm-hmm. a patient is perceived to be in pain or have anxiety. And so that standard order set is probably different at different facilities, but the general concept is that in general, once somebody's on comfort care and in hospice, you truly do focus on reducing pain and anxiety, and the medications might have different names, they might have different dosages, but the general concept is the same.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
I want to back up a minute. Doctor, I did want to let you know that we have a call for the next 10 minutes because we've been on the line for 2 hours, so it's only a two-hour thing. So well, I just have one question I want to back up. When we said we DNR, you said that if we decide to do that, the care would still be the same. But let me make sure I understand, because I also heard you say that, I guess what I heard you say was Dr. Brennan's recommendation is that we move straight to comfort care rather than continue to do the same care. That's what I heard.
Yep. Nope, it's a fair question. So let me be very clear. So Daniel Jr. asked the question about placing in hospice, and when I answered him, I was very specific in my words. I said that there were a number of steps that included, number one, changing code status, number two, being on comfort care, and then number three, Dr. Brennan placing him in a hospice facility. Now, if we back up all the way back to where we are currently, you are absolutely correct. You can change the code status from full code to DNR, but not change the medical management. And again, that's a decision that I'm asking you as the family to help make on his behalf to really, you know, in steps, the first step has to be his code status. Do you as a family want him to have CPR, chest compressions, if something in the middle of the night happened?
And then real quick, to add another question I forgot.
I need
so
an answer, no,
chest,
but I'm sorry. No, Daniel,
no,
Jr.,
this is applicable. Would he need a ventilator? Will he need a ventilator if his lung is punctured after the resuscitation?
Yes
or no?
Yes.
And will he survive that if he's resuscitated after, you know, paying for a very expensive ventilator?
I don't know the answer, but evidence says less than half the people who have COVID who go on to a vent actually survive.
With pneumonia and a blood clot in their lungs.
Less than half the people who go on to a vent with COVID survive.
Okay. And then with the percentage in my own, you know, research with pneumonia and other things with complicated issues. Okay. So I just wanted to throw that out there before we give you that decision.
Yep.
And my aunt will make sure to contact you with that decision. We'll have a discussion amongst right now. And then we'll get back to you with that information. And you guys can wait for just a moment.
Hold
Not
on,
an
Daniel.
Easy choice.
Wait
Daniel,
a minute.
Hold on. Okay. You're getting emotional, so just back away from that, okay? Doctor, you know, when we were discussing it earlier before you came on the line, we all had agreed that we wanted to do the resuscitation. But the information we've had at the time was trying to determine whether or not we could continue to treat the clot in the arm. And based on what you shared with us, we can't, that is not an option.
So I'm very sorry. I'm not asking you if you want to treat the blood clot or not. That's me. That's my medical decision. And so that's not a question. Okay.
Right, I understand. I'm just saying based on what we were thinking, because we were, you know, just discussing it, that we made a decision to resuscitate. But based on what you're sharing with us now, that could probably change some of what our decision was. And we don't have an answer this minute because of that.
And that's fine. That's perfectly acceptable. Part of my job is to help make sure that I try to convey what's going on and allow you to ask questions so that you are empowered to make decisions that are consistent with not only your interpretation but his wishes as well.
Exactly. And like I said, we didn't have that at the time that we made the decision, and I think that the majority were leaning towards to continue with the resuscitation, but based on the fact that we can't do anything at this point, based on what you're saying, what you just shared with us, that I think there's some members are changing their mind about the resuscitation.
I said keep going.
I understand, Loretta, but that's not the majority right now. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I'm saying to do not resuscitate at this time.
And I think what I hear is that, and I apologize, I had planned to be on this call much earlier. Things came up, so I wasn't able to be on the call, and I do apologize. I think what I hear is that you all as a family would like some time to further discuss, and that's absolutely okay. At this point, there's no change to his code status. At this point, there's no change to the medical management. And I think you all deserve time to process the information and then come to a consensus or to the best of your abilities. Does that sound reasonable?
Yes.
Yes.
Perfect.
Yes.
Thank you, Doctor.
You do need a little bit more time to talk through it again because I'm hearing two and three different people have changed their mind on the original discussion because we didn't have the information that we needed. So if that would be perfect. So what's the latest? If we had a decision today, what was the latest? You getting ready to get off now and change shifts, I'm thinking?
Yes, in general. And so I will try to be available, for the next half hour or 45 minutes. And then if that's reasonable, if that's not reasonable, we can certainly readdress her. I can call Angela, you tomorrow morning and just say, hey, and if that's a better time frame for you all, that's perfectly acceptable.
Let's target for tomorrow morning because I would like for us to come to agreement because one other person has already dropped off the call as well since we spoke that agreed on the resuscitation.
Are there any other questions that I can try to help answer or address to make sure that you all as a family have, the information that you all would like to try to help come to some consensus?
There is one question I do have now.
Okay.
If we do not resuscitate, we are saying we're moving straight to hospice, right?
All the code status does is it all the code status does is address what happens in the middle of the night if something catastrophic happens.
Got it. So right now everything will stay the same except that everything will stay the same until we make that decision.
Yes, ma'am, that's correct.
Okay, sounds good.
So I will talk in the morning, Doctor. And hopefully we can let you know which way we're going to go with that and you guys can proceed on, and then we'll just go to the next stage as it goes because I just want to make sure I said one thing and then it goes straight to hospital. That's not what I'm looking at because we're still at, to me, we're at a 50-50% chance either way.
I'll let you all talk as a family, and Angela, I'll give you a call tomorrow morning, okay?
Okay.
Thank you so much, Doctor. Have a great day.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Hold on. Is he off, Loretta?
Yes.
Okay. So Mom is saying she do not want us to resuscitate. Hubert, what are you feeling like? I'm just throwing it out for now. We can talk about it later. Overnight.
Yeah, resuscitating. No, Mom.
That's the hard thing. Mama's saying no.
We're going to lose the call in 3 minutes.
I know. I'm targeting it, Laura. We do what we can do in the next 3 minutes, then we might have to just – can you schedule another one?
Well,
it'll be tomorrow.
If the call hops off now,
I
love you guys.
Tomorrow.
We need to make a decision. We need to make a decision tonight, guys. So we may have to call each other and get back on the phone to make a decision.
Let me make a chat room and I'll text you guys the number and it'll be live in about 20 minutes. So it's going to be through my work Zoom. One moment.
Okay, that'll work. You can send it to us via text, right?
Yep, I'll text it to everybody. I'm going to hop off here and get it done now. Just so that y'all know, I think we shouldn't, just between us right now, I don't think resuscitating is the move. I think we should let him move on to see the Lord, if that be the will.
Yeah.
Because the doctor's not, he's only allowed to look at one aspect or not. You know, hospitals are for profit, you know, and so I want to make sure that they're aware that, you know, we know what we know. And the price of the ventilator is very, very expensive instantaneously, and there's only 50%, and you're only looking at that with a COVID mindset when he's got a couple of other lung, you know, situations, knowing that that's going to be a painful process after already, you know, having it being punctured as well. So, you know, anyway, let me get this going live and we can share all this together.
Yeah, go ahead
and
get that done and invite your mom too, because we need to update her on what, because her decision, we all had decided on resuscitation. Her decision is important. So invite her to it, and we'll all get back together and finish the conversation. Because I know Loretta is disagreeing with the do not resuscitate. So let's continue to talk about it, and everybody get their opinions out about how they're feeling, and you know, just kind of keep your emotions out of it, and think about Daniel, guys. This is about Daniel, not us. So that's the only thing I want to say is that, you know, don't become indignant and emotional about it where that you can't see the forest for the trees is what I'm getting at. So let's just go ahead and end this call, and we'll reconvene when we get the Zoom chat from Little Daddy.
Okay. Love y'all.
All right. Thanks.
Love y'all.
Now, go and see, this is what you need to share, is what you experienced over 2.3.